Hear Cassie and Stacy sing again, too. Let's turn here this morning to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Some of you got young guys, if when we dismiss here, if you want to give Brother Darling a hand to get a few tables loaded up to get over to the picnic grounds here in a bit. So, but for now, let's turn our minds over to this. Proverbs chapter 20. Let's go down to just one verse here, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Doesn't sound very good, does it? Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, thank you this morning again for an opportunity to stand and preach, and thank you for all these people being here. We know there are several out of town or gone for various reasons and sickness and so on. Pray you'd be with them, Father. But for those of us that are here, we're looking forward to a good day, not only in here for this hour or so, but also for the rest of the afternoon. We hope you'll bless and protect as we go about still honoring you at the picnic grounds as well as here. We pray that you'll bless the message this morning, Father, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, in verse 4, the sluggard is kind of spotlighted there, as you can see. It says the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Now, that word sluggard occurs, oddly enough, 6 times in the Bible. 6 is the number of man. You know what man is? Man is lazy. That's what man is. Now, there's an interesting thing about the sluggard when you study the sluggard. For instance, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4, it says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing." That is, because a guy's lazy, that doesn't mean he doesn't want anything. It just means he's not willing to work for anything. The other thing about a sluggard, it says over in Proverbs 26, is that the sluggard is wiser in his own conceits than 7 men that can render a reason. That is, a lazy guy is real good at justifying himself. Really, really good. And I don't know what kind of conclusions you've reached, but I've recently, fairly recently, reached the conclusion that maybe the single greatest contributor to the population in hell may not be gambling or adultery or lying, but laziness. I earnestly stand there right now, and I think that maybe the greatest contributor to tears at the judgment seat of Christ may very well be laziness as well. Now, I said there that the sluggard is kind of the spotlight of the verse, but that's not really what I'm preaching about this morning as such, because what caught my eye was the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Now, there are 2 things in that verse that are very hard on the flesh. The flesh of a Christian, the flesh of a lost guy. And the first thing is plowing. I don't know how many of you have ever plowed. These days people plow with tractors and stuff. But if you've ever watched somebody plow with a yoke of oxen and so on, you know that that's hard work. And hard work is hard on the flesh, right? That's the way it is. But that's not the whole problem. It says there in that verse that the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Now, plowing is hard enough as it is. But when it's really cold out, it's really hard to plow. It's hard to get up to plow. Tell me, folks, what is it about the cold? Minnesotans live in the cold. They complain about the cold more than anybody I've ever heard. It's kind of a weird thing, isn't it? Folks in Minnesota will complain about the cold. They will move to Florida, where it's 97% humidity, 100 degrees, and live down there. They will move to Arizona, where it's 120 degrees, although it's a dry heat, and live there. It's kind of funny, isn't it? You never hear somebody leaving Arizona to move to Wisconsin or leave Florida to move to Minnesota. It's always the opposite. It's kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, folks, we think about the, you know, heat is uncomfortable. I don't enjoy the heat. I'm probably as hot-natured as anybody here. I don't enjoy the heat, but the cold is rough on the flesh, is it not? Tell me, have you ever heard a guy complain about his wife? Man, she has hot feet. No, you hear the opposite. Man, she has really cold feet, right? You ever go on vacation and wind up in a place that has a hot tub, you know, and stick your foot in that hot tub? Man, it's hot. I can see my wife doing this right now. Get in that hot tub, it's hot. But does she leave? No. She keeps easing in one little body part at a time, you know. Ooh, ooh. And after a while, she's up to here, you know, in the hot tub. Now, if the water was 65 degrees, she puts her big toe in and goes, "Woo, I ain't getting in there." You know? What is it about the cold? Folks will put up with heat. I don't know about you, but it is not hard for me to get out of bed on a hot, sticky, humid morning. Now, if it's 55 degrees in my bedroom, and it's February, it's hard to get out of bed. I mean, brother, the cold is hard on the flesh. I cut wood in 98 degree heat. But I have to tell you this, it is rough getting up on a February morning at 5 below and making that first trip to the woodpile, man. That cold, there's something about the cold, I don't know what it is. Most carpenters and remodelers do their best to work inside during the winter. Why? Because cold is hard on the flesh. Now, the Bible says there that the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. The problem is that plowing is absolutely indispensable, is it not? If a farmer doesn't plow, he doesn't plant. If he does try to plant without plowing, he's not going to grow anything. It's just, you know, it's just that way. And so I'm making a spiritual application this morning. I'm sure you know that. But again, it says there the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. And again, I am convinced as I evermore go along that there will be more people in hell that ultimately the bottom line was they were lazy more than anything else there is. I'd like to talk to you about by reason of the cold. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Now I'll tell you this, if you're going to do anything for the Lord, if you're going to get to heaven by being saved, there are some fields you will have to plow. First of all, I'd like to say that you need to plow the field of sincere self-evaluation. All right? Nobody gets saved without that, folks. Nobody really enjoys looking at themselves and saying, you know what you are? You're a dirty, rotten, lazy bum is what you are. You're a proud, ambitious, self-indulgent little twit. That's what you are. Nobody enjoys making that self-evaluation. But if you're going to miss hell, you will have to self-evaluate yourself enough to know that you're a worse sinner than your mother thinks you are, that the Lord will punish you for your sins, and you will have to come to grips with what you really are. You will have to evaluate yourself. You will have to plow that field, right? There are some fields that somebody has to plow. You will have to plow the field of sincere self-evaluation. You have to plow your own field. I'd like to plow your field for you. I'd like to be able to tell you you're a proud twit, but that won't help you. Because unless you know you're a proud, selfish twit, a sinner that needs to be saved, I can't do that for you. Listen, God will not plow your field for you. Your church will not plow your field for you. You have to plow the field of self-evaluation, be honest and sincere with yourself about what you are and how God looks at you. That's just necessary. It's the way things are. 20 verse 4 says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Let me tell you something about that field of self-evaluation. Brother, it is a cold field. Oh man, it is hard to get up and go plow that field. Ooh, oh man. You know, just go out there and, you know, you just want to wrap yourself up in all kinds of layers of everything and pad yourself against the truth. But that field is a cold, cold field. You have to look at yourself sometimes and see what you really are. And until you do that, you're not only going to miss heaven if you don't do that and receive Christ, but you're going to miss a lot in the Christian life as well. Amen? Even the Christian life revolves around plowing that field. And brother, it is a cold field. It is not a tropical island where you can go lay on a hammock and watch the surf and the sand. It is not that kind of field, man. It's a cold, cold field. I don't know about you, but once in a while I watch a documentary or something on an Arctic expedition, an Antarctic expedition. I watched one when we were on vacation last year somewhere. I watched something on Everest, these idiots climbing Everest. And I don't know about you guys, but I have no stomach for that stuff at all. You couldn't pay me to go to the Antarctic. I ain't going. I ain't interested. I'm not interested in snowshoes. I'm not interested in letting dogs pull me around on a sled. I'm not interested. It's cold out there. I ain't going. I just do not plan to go. Men are repulsed by the cold. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. The problem is there are some fields that you really need to go to real bad. And I'll tell you this. I know some Christians that have lain in their beds and they refuse to budge from their beds. They refuse to look at themselves no matter how they're led, no matter how often they're told, no matter whether they are rebuked or loved and slobbered on to get there. Look, you have this problem and you need to deal with this problem or else it's never going to be right with God. It's never going to be right with your family. It's never going to be right with your friends. And I know Christians that used to, on a habitual basis, go to the field of self-evaluation and plow. And they would look at themselves and admit they were lazy or admit that they were a sinner. Admit that they had this problem or that problem. Admit they had a bad temper. Admit that they were petulant or cantankerous. And these days, sometimes more and more I find Christians that no longer are willing to go to that field. They once did, but they won't anymore. And you know what that means? That means they are what? A sluggard. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. I want you to notice something else. Look in Proverbs 21 real quick. A couple of verses for you to turn to here. Proverbs 21, verse 4. A high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. See, the wicked plow too. The wicked do go to a field and plow. I just wanted you to see that real quick. Look in Job 4. Now, the first field was the field of sincere self-evaluation. You have to plow that field if you're going to be right with God. And in Job chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." There you have another guy plowing iniquity, a wicked man plowing iniquity. I just want to say that one of the fields that you have to go plow, folks, is the field of personal righteousness. I'm not talking about the righteousness of God, which He gives you through Jesus Christ, but the field of personal righteousness. You know, folks, it's real easy to plow the field of sin. You know that? I mean, it doesn't take any particular talent to fall into pornography or gambling or booze or partying or bad friends. It does not take any talent at all. It doesn't take any hard work at all. That is an easy field to plow. The wicked plow their fields of iniquity because those fields are easy. But now I'll tell you something about the field of righteousness. The field of righteousness is a cold field. Man, it's freezing out there. Man, it's cold. It's hard on the flesh. It's really hard on the flesh. You go out there in that field, and you know what? You're not supposed to take that field. You don't take any booze to that field. Not if you're going to plow a field of righteousness. You can't take booze in there. You're not going to be able to take your undisciplined in there. That field is plowed with character. It's plowed with discipline. You have to keep your mind clear. You have to keep your eyes off of certain things. There are just things that are there that are just hard to plow. I mean, the field of iniquity, you can go and it's like a sunny beach. I mean, the water's washing up and you just go out there and lay there and plow the field of iniquity. But man, the field of righteousness is a hard, cold field. It's hard on the flesh. It's cold out there. Man, it's hard to go there. It just really is. I don't know if it's ever stricken you, but do you realize how insidious it is that we now live in a day of Christianity that has no expectations for behavior? It has no standards of behavior, no restrictions basically upon the flesh. That's how they're building churches these days, folks. I mean, the mega churches and the emerging churches, you go there and you can get a rock concert and probably go smoke a little dope out in the car afterwards. Nobody will look twice. You can sleep around within the church and nobody will look twice. I think it's a pretty sad thing. The fact is that people nowadays, you can actually go to work at just some secular workplace out in the world, and they have more expectations of behavior for you than, for instance, some churches do. There are places that tell you how you are not to dress to come to work for them. You cannot have an iPod in your ear to go to work for them. You have to have a tie on to go to work for them. You cannot do this or do that. If you come to work, you're going to have to wee-wee in a cup just to prove that you're not on dope. Listen, folks, I'm not suggesting urine tests here at all, but I'll tell you this. It is a sad thing that nowadays people's bosses have more expectations of behavior than Jesus Christ does in most people's conception. That's a sorry, rotten thing. It's a terrible thing. You know what that is? That is laziness. You say, oh, that's too bad. You know, those poor people. No, they are lazy. They are lazy. The reason you have no standards is you are a sluggard. You'll do it for money, but you won't do it for Christ. You are a sluggard. Now that we're into name calling, let's move to something else here. I'd like to talk to you about the field of public and private witnessing, all right? The Bible, everybody knows about the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Preach the gospel to every creature, right? I can tell you this, Jeremiah got a dose of it. Look in Jeremiah 1 real quick. And I'll tell you up front, the word plowing is not in this verse. But I'll also tell you that, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to see it. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. Jeremiah is called to be a prophet to the nations. And he says this, verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Jeremiah was called to prophesy to the nations, called to preach, quote unquote, the gospel to the nations. Now, folks, the Great Commission is a tough field. I don't know if you've ever actually cleared a field or not as a farmer. We used to. Of course, we didn't do it by ox or, oxes and asses and stuff like that, axes. We did it by bulldozers. Even after you bulldoze trees down, you go through and plow there for years and years after that, still picking up stumps and stuff. It is a big, big job. It is a huge job. And if you are going to fulfill the Great Commission as one of Jesus Christ's witnesses, you're going to go into a place where you have to pull out all kinds of stuff. Idols, egos, self-righteousness, rebellion, religion, devils, the devil, public opinion, fear, tradition, all those things. It's tough plowing. That's a cold field to go plow. It's a cold field because it's hard to go in there. I mean, it's hard on the flesh. You don't want to go confront somebody who has had their religion and whose grandmother and grandfather were in this particular religion. It's hard to go in there and say, you know what, Grandma, you must be born again. It is hard to break in, is it not? You know, used to. Anybody ever seen those stupid, polar bear festivals in the winter here in Minnesota, Wisconsin, where knotheads, cut a hole in the ice and these idiots get in a bathing suit and go jump in? Personally, they're all mad and need to be locked up. But I can tell you this, folks. Sometimes witnessing to your friends is just as tough as jumping in that ice-cold water. It is a cold field. Man, it's cold. I stand on the street corner sometimes after a little while where we haven't actually street preached. And the hardest thing in the world to do is take that final breath and go, "Thus saith the Lord." Because you know as soon as you say that, everybody's going to go like that. And it's just been so long, it's just so hard to jump in that cold water, man. That is a cold field to plow. It is hard on the flesh. But you have got to plow that field. If you don't take the gospel to your mother, who will? I won't. She won't come here to hear me. If you won't take it to her, who will? I can't. If I show up at her door, she's going to know that I'm your pastor and she ain't going to talk to me. You will have to. If you will not reach your high school friends and classmates, you think I'm going to be able to? You think I'm going to be able to meet them on the street and say, "Hey, I'm Joe Blow's pastor, and guess what? You must be born again." That's not going to work. You're going to have to reach them. You say, "Man, I'm scared. It's just cold. It's cold. It's hard on the flesh." The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. You say, "Yes, it's cold," and you can justify not going because it is so cold. There have been mornings I have not wanted to get up because it was so cold. But the cold does not change the fact that you must plow. And the cold does not change the fact that you are a sluggard if you do not plow. Amen? Oh, this is a nice message. I know you like it a lot. Look in, you're gonna think this is funny. Look in Judges chapter 14. Judges 14. It's a strange place to go for text here with regard to this morning, but nonetheless. Judges 14. Now we have said that one of the cold fields you will be called to plow is the field of sincere self-evaluation. The field of personal righteousness. The field of witnessing, personally and privately. But in Judges chapter 14, go down to verse 18. And this is the story, of course, of Samson and the Philistine gal. And it says there in verse 18, after the men of the Philistines have compromised his wife, says, "And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, 'What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion?'" They had figured out his riddle, you see. "And he said unto them, 'If ye had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle.'" Now, gentlemen, let me tell you something. You shouldn't talk about your wife that way. I have a feeling that if you call your wife a heifer, it's going to go downhill from there, just so you know. But the point is here that the Bible said that Samson took this girl to wife, and that the Lord considered her his wife. And in trying to manipulate and exploit him, the Philistines interposed themselves and intruded in that relationship between Samson and his wife, and basically inserted themselves into that thing. And he said, "Listen, you have plowed with my heifer. I had a relationship with that girl, and you intruded into that relationship, right? You don't want me doing that with you guys." So the Lord, you know, that's what Samson didn't want him doing it with him either. I just want to say that one of the fields you will have to plow is the field of personal relationships. Now, folks, when you got saved, for the first time in your life, you became on friendly relations with God. You were an enemy and an adversary before, right? And you started a relationship with the God of heaven the day you received Christ as your Savior. On that day, there was something else that happened. Anybody else that saved became your brother or sister in Christ. That was the beginning of a new relationship as well. Somewhere along the way, most of you guys that are old enough have gotten married and started having kids and all that kind of stuff. When you got married, obviously, you began another relationship. When you had a kid, obviously, that was the start of a new relationship. I just want you to know that there is a lot of plowing that has to be done in a field of personal relationships. And I want you to know that there's many in many respects, that field is a very cold field. I bet when you got saved that most of you were like me. I bet you did not realize when you escaped hell and decided, and the Lord let you have the promise that you were going to heaven, I bet you did not know that God was going to be as intrusive as He was going to be. I bet you did not know that the Lord was interested in actually changing the way you think and make decisions. I mean, if it was just, you know, I got saved and, you know, what I really wanted to get saved from was I had this huge wart on my nose and the Lord came along and said, "Hey, Kyle, I'll save you and take that huge wart away." That'd be a great thing, right? But the problem was that He didn't just remove the warts. The Lord was interested in dealing with me about my ambition. And He was interested in dealing with you about your selfish indulgence, about your self-pity. And some of those things are hard to root out, folks. I mean, when you learned that there was a day that the Lord came along and said, "You know what? Your problem is self-pity. You feel sorry for yourself all the time." And He said, I want you to get rid of that. You said, "Oh, man, I can't do that. It's cold. Man, it's cold in that field. I just can't do it." The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. The field of personal relationships, especially with God, is a very cold field. I say it's cold because it's hard on the flesh. The flesh doesn't want to go there, right? It's like walking out into a cold February morning, wet from the shower, without any clothes on. It's like, I can't do it. There's another relationship like that. I bet when some of you, you know, Jeremy was talking this morning about getting married. I know that he had a somewhat realistic view of what marriage would be like, but most of us did enough of it for selfish reasons that along came the day that we didn't really realize that in getting married, we didn't quite anticipate just how intrusive and intimate that relationship would be either. For instance, gentlemen, is it still hard for you to say, honey, I was wrong? I mean, nobody that ever, no two people that were ever hot to trot and all ready to get married and everything, nobody ever stopped to think, boy, it's going to really be easy to tell this person that I was wrong about an argument, is it? Folks, don't do that. See, that's a cold feel, too. You didn't realize that there were going to be some things the Lord dealt with you about. I bet some of you got married not truly realizing, ladies, just what it meant to be submissive to your own husbands. Or husbands, what it really meant to love your wife more than you love you. And you found out that relationship was a lot more intrusive than you thought it was going to be. And it's still hard to go into that field sometimes when you're wrong or whatever. And, you know, you need to go there. And the Lord, the preacher told you you need to go there and all those things. But, man, it's a cold field. A sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. I know husbands that have never said to their wife, I was wrong. You were right, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Why? Because the field is so cold. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. I'll tell you something else. When you got saved, you entered a whole new family. I'm not just talking about Christ and the prophets and God. I'm talking about other saved Christians. And I'll tell you what's going on right now, not just here, but in many other places. You can go to places and there are Christians that are out of the race. There are Christians that are out of the race because they are fed up with other Christians. They have been exploited. They have been burnt. They have been wronged. They have tried to be patient. They have tried to be long-suffering. And they are bitter, not so much at God as they are at other Christians. And I want you to know something, folks. One of the things you were called to do when you got saved, when you entered this relationship, not only with God but other Christians, you were called to suffer yourselves to be defrauded at some level. You were called to be long-suffering. You were called to serve somebody that was obnoxious and cantankerous and not thankful. You were called to be patient. You were called at times to do something that you always hated doing, which was to go stand up to someone and confront an issue face-to-face and say, look, we have this problem, let's deal with it. And I know Christians now by the score that have bailed out on plowing that field right there. You know why? Because that field is cold, man. It's cold in that field. You don't want to go confront a Christian. You don't want to deal with this person about this, that, or the other. You do not want any longer to be patient with this person. You do not any longer wish to be long-suffering or any of those things. You do not wish to go to this person and say, guess what? You were right, I was wrong. I thought I was right, but turns out you were right and I was wrong. That is a cold field. And there are scores and scores of Christians these days that will use the excuse of other Christians for having dropped out of the race. I'll tell you this right now. It's not going to stand up at the judgment seat of Christ. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. You know why you don't want to go there? Because you're lazy. You say, well, I went there before and it didn't help. Go back again and again and again and again. You say, well, I'm just weary. I just can't do it anymore. I just can't. You can. The reason you won't is you are lazy. You are a sluggard. You say, I've put up with all I can put up with that guy. No, you haven't. You have not. You have not put up with nearly as much from him as Jesus Christ put up with from you. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. I'd like to say in short, too, there's a couple more here. I'd like to say in short, too, that one other field you're going to need to go to, and you know this, you're going to need to go to the field of prayer and plow there. And if you've ever tried to pray habitually, you know that is one of the greatest challenges in this life. It is not hard to pray for myself if I'm in pain and want relief. That's easy enough. But to habitually go back and pray for other people who have sometimes done you wrong or whatever else, it is hard on the flesh. That is a cold feel. Anybody that's tried to pray regularly for an hour a day, say, or 45 minutes a day, knows that that's a hard, cold feel to pray in. And a lot of times folks just kind of give it a shot for a while and then kind of give up, you know. And you know why you gave up? Because it's cold. You know why somebody won't plow a cold field? Do you? Because you're lazy. You know why you don't pray more? Because you're lazy. You say, no, I'm busy. That's why I said you're lazy. You found something else to do that was easier to do because you're lazy. I'm lazy. I admit it. I'm just telling you, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. And brother, sometimes you get up and want to pray and you go, I don't want to get up and pray. Man, it's cold out there. That's where we are. Amen? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'll make this one as short as possible as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and hope you can see in this context that this whole context is about Paul's ministry and ours as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10, talking about his ministry and his service to the Corinthians and other Christians. He says in verse 10, "Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope shall be a partaker of his hope." There it's talking about a minister plowing. And notice verse 13, "Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with that altar?" I wanted you to see there that the plowing there is the ministry. I want you to know that the ministry is a field that you need to plow. And a lot of you here do. I mean, I would say that most folks here that are here regularly, I know that an awful lot of you have regular things you do in trying to minister to people, whether it be visitation or nursing home or whatever it is. I understand that. But I just want you to know that no matter in what you minister, that is no place for a sluggard. There's going to be times that you're not going to want to minister. You know why? Because it is a cold field. There have been times that I have been on the brink of having to go into an office and counsel somebody about something intensely personal. And you know what? I did not want to go in that office. I did not want to sit across that desk from that man or that woman to have to say this, that, or the other. You know why? Because it's cold. It's hard. I don't want to humiliate anybody. I don't want to have to get in somebody's dirty laundry and say this, that, or the other about things that are intensely personal. I hate that stuff. Do you? That's a cold feel, man. But I'll tell you this. If you're going to be in the ministry of any sort, I'm not just talking about as a preacher, you're going to wind up in some situations where you're going to face a door and somebody's on the other side of that door. And you're going to go, man, I don't want to go in there. I just don't want to go in there. It's cold in there. And you're going to have to go in there and plow that field. And a sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. One other thing, all right? Look in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. One more. I think of those people jumping in that frozen water through that ice. I get chill bumps standing up here and it's 90 degrees outside, man. I just, you know, my flesh just shrivels up thinking about doing something like that. You know, it's just, I don't know what it is about cold, right? We'll go out there and play all day today and drink water and all that kind of stuff, complain about the heat, but we'll go every time we have a picnic, right? But, you know, we tried having a picnic on a nice cold day a couple times. And you guys complained about it and they won't go back. So what is it about the cold? The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Look in Luke chapter 9 and go over to verse 62. Luke 9, 62. "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I'll tell you this. That guy put his hand to the plow there, and he said, once you touch that plow, you better not look back. I want to tell you that you need to plow the field of unwavering faithfulness. Amen? You need to plow the field of unwavering faithfulness. How many people do you know that have looked back? I bet if we went around the room here, you know, most of all of us could name, I don't know, a half dozen or a dozen people that we know that got saved and aren't anywhere near a Bible-believing church, aren't anywhere near serving Jesus Christ today, right? How many of you know multiple people like that? Man, I certainly do. How many do you know that put the hand to the plow and went back? Somewhere along the way, they got plowing along there, and the field was so cold. I mean, it was just, there were so many things in life that were just hard on the flesh. And just, man, I'm going home. I'm quitting. Didn't even unyoke the oxen. Just left the plow in the field and went home. Sat by the fire. There are 1,005 excuses to quit. Well, I'm tired. Well, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not, right? Well, I got burnt out. I was a missionary on the field of Timbuktu. And I worked so hard that I'm burnt out. Or I just got burnt. I just got burnt by Christians. This guy stole this money from me and didn't pay me back, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I got defrauded. I've been wronged. I've been exploited. I have been unfairly treated. I mean, I went in to talk to the pastor and he bawled me out instead of giving me the love that I needed. In fact, I went to that church, you know, and after I went to that other church and after I went to that other church, and every church that I went to, I was either getting defrauded or I didn't feel any love there. I appreciate the fact that Jacqueline felt love here. There are others that have left that said, I've felt no love there, and they are out of the race. Here's what I wonder. I wonder, when somebody gets to the judgment seat of Christ, I wonder how this is going to go. The Savior that died for him holds out his hands, lets him see the wounds in his hands and his side, and says, so why'd you quit? Because I went to that church and I didn't feel any love. I wonder if that's going to fly. Because I tell you what's going to happen instead. You know what you're going to learn? I honestly believe it. I honestly believe he's going to say, no, the issue wasn't love. The issue was lazy. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. I'll tell you this, for every time that you have been tempted to quit, I bet that your temptation lay in your flesh, in the laziness of your flesh. Say, no, I just got tired of dealing with so-and-so. He is such a jerk. And, I just got tired of putting up with him. You know, it was all him. I bet when it boils down to it that what you were was lazy and didn't want to deal with it anymore, and so you're using something else as an excuse. The sluggard will not go through hard things that are against his flesh because he's a sluggard. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. I wonder how it's going to go at judgment seat of Christ. I wonder how it's going to go at, you know, the white throne judgment. So you're lost. Yes, I'm lost. Why are you lost? Because that Christian was a jerk. Well, even a non-Christian knows he's supposed to forgive somebody, right? Why didn't you forgive somebody and overlook the Christian's fault and look to the Savior? I know why. Because you're lazy. It's easier on the flesh to quit. It's easier on the flesh to lay down, to not believe, to not labor, to not work. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. I hope that won't be you. I hope it won't be me. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Now, Father, there are some fields we need to plow. And we've been told here today that the reason we don't go and plow those fields is because we are sluggards. Father, that's a harsh judgment on mankind, hard for folks to receive. I hope that somebody here is honest enough and truthful enough with themselves to recognize that for all the times they've been tempted to give up and lay down and quit, those reasons have lain more than anywhere else in their own flesh, in their own laziness, in their own sluggishness, Father. I just pray that you'd help us to see these things and do something with them. If there's somebody here that's using other Christians or other reasons as an excuse not to believe in Jesus Christ, not to trust Him as their Savior, I pray you deal with them about the fact they are really, for lack of other words, just basically lazy in dealing with spiritual things. They do not want to deal with their sins. They do not want to go through the trouble that would be involved with receiving Christ and changing a life. I pray you'd help them to see that it just abides in something as low and as mean and as profane as laziness. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for just a few minutes. I don't know who it is that you are fed up with putting up with, and so fed up that you're not going to put up with them anymore as Christians or friends or whatever else, husbands, wives, whatever. But I'll tell you this, the day that you quit and give up is the day that you admit. You might as well mark across your forehead in unerasable marker, sluggard. You quit. You gave up. You gave up because you're lazy. It's easier to do the other thing. It's easier to quit. It's easier to write those folks off and walk away. Say something bitter, let them have it right between the eyes. Maybe you've done the same with Christianity. Maybe you're tempted to do that with a church. I don't know. I know this. The Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. I know that He paid the price for you. I know that Jesus Christ spared no labor in what He did for me and you, so that you could have the opportunity to fight the battles that you're fighting today. Do not allow yourself to make an excuse that just tries to mask basically nothing any higher than laziness and sluggardliness, if that's a word. Sluggishness. Slothfulness. We're going to go to have a picnic here after a while. Have a good time today, Lord willing. Hope you won't forget the message that the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. There's many a cold field you're going to be called to plow. It's freezing out there, and your flesh is going to shrivel at going to that place and going to work on that day. But the Lord has called you to labor in that field and go plow that field once in a while, because it needs to be plowed. Father, thank You for Your goodness and Your love. We pray You'll continue to bless in these next few minutes as we endeavor to draw closer to Thee. Pray that everybody's attention would be riveted upon You here for a while. And we pray in Jesus' name. Let's turn to number 439 and stand. 439. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, right? You are created, given new birth to work for Jesus Christ. 439.
Work for the night is coming.
Mistakes that people make is they think that their opportunities today will always be there. That's not true. It's not true. Somebody you may need to get right with may die tomorrow. It would help if you would go plow that field today instead of regretting for the rest of your life that you never plowed that field, right? You say, man, that field is cold, brother. I'm going to have to go humble myself and basically humiliate myself. I got to go back and crawl. Brother, go plow the field. Okay? The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. On the third.
Yeah.
have you stand at ease here for just a second. I'm going to have Jacqueline come up so you can come shake her hand. Ladies, you can hug her neck. We're glad to have Jacqueline here and really appreciate her testimony. Young men, if you want to help Brother Dave after we dismiss here, maybe load some tables and stuff, why don't you see him after we leave here. But Jacqueline, it's good to have you. Let's dismiss ourselves in prayer here, and you guys come shake Jacqueline's hand. Father, thank you for your love and your goodness to us. We're glad for this lady, Father, who's come to us out of California by way of Michigan or whatever. She's been a blessing for us here, Father, for a lot of us, and a great testimony in sickness and in health as well. We pray that you'd bless her time here. We're glad that she has found here what you wanted her to find. We hope that we may ever meet that need. Father, bless the rest of the day as well, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.